The scripture for today is, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. We actually talked about it last week. How many of you remember that? And we started saying that a lot of Christians have Christianity confused. We think that Christianity is another religion. We think it's all about rules being imposed on us by some God, a spooky God, who sits who knows where in the cosmos or universe or somewhere in heaven. And if we do something wrong, he's going to punish us. And if we are good, he's going to bless us. But the interesting thing is that God is not a religious leader. I said it last week. God is not a priest. Said that last week again. God is a king. Ooh, some of you are like, what? God is a king. He has a kingdom. He has a territory that he rules. It's called heaven. Where God is a kingdom. And all kings have a desire. If you know anything about kings, kings have a desire. They want to expand their territory. And so God, who is invisible, who is spiritual God, decides, I want to do something with this little planet called the earth. And so he decides to colonize this planet. He creates everything that he does, you know, birds and light and darkness and water and creates stars and does all that. And he says, I want to colonize this place called earth. And so what he does, he puts a man, names him Adam, and his wife Eve, so they can have dominion over this planet. The original intent of God is to extend his territory to this earth. And the first thing the Creator gave to man was a kingdom. And he says, rule over it, dominate over it, over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every creeping thing, have control over everything. But notice one thing he did not give to human beings was to control over one another. To have dominion over one another. So if God is your king and you're made in his image, then guess what? You are king as well. You are a king as well. Satan came to Adam and Eve and he tricked them. And he said, if you disobey God and eat of this fruit, forbidden fruit, guess what? You will be like God. How many of you know that's a trick? Because God made him already in his image, in his likeness. So guess what? They were already like gods. See, Satan is a liar. He says, you can be a god. Hold on. I'm already a with a little g, don't get me wrong. I'm not a god. Right? And even Jesus said, and David quoted this, he says, you are gods. Why? Because we are sons of the living God. Some of you are listening to this and saying, wow, this is a whole bunch of BS. What do you mean? I always been thought about religion. I am nobody. I'm a little poor thing, nothing. I'm a little dust. I'm a little speck. But God is this. No, you were created in his image, so that makes you his son. And if you are his son, then you are in his inheritance. Interesting. So Satan stole the kingdom by making Adam and Eve to disobey. See, Satan doesn't have a territory unless he steals it. When he was kicked off from heaven, in heaven he had his own rulership, and he was ruling over the worship in heaven. Bible says that. But after he's been kicked out of heaven, he needs a place to rule. So guess where he goes? He goes to the people and he tricks them and says, you can be like gods, knowing good and evil. Listen, they already knew good. So guess what? They started to know evil. He tricked them because they were already made in the image of God. And he tricked them and took their dominion. And when Jesus was tested in the wilderness, Satan came and said to him, if you bow down and worship me, all these kingdoms of the world have been handed on to me. And if you bow down before me, I will give them all to you. Because they were given to me. By who? By Adam and Eve. And so Jesus comes to this earth and he preaches one simple message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is what? At hand. See, a lot of us think that Jesus was preaching the cross. No, he mentioned it to his disciples a few times in secret. Yes. Jesus didn't preach the cross. Jesus didn't preach so much salvation. He was preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. In Mark chapter 1, verse 4, it says, now, after John the Baptist was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. A lot of us preach the gospel of suffering, the gospel of pain, the gospel of prosperity, the gospel of success. I mean, there's many different gospels. And not that they're all wrong. We do suffer. We do prosper. We go through different stages of life. But Jesus, look at this, preached the gospel of the kingdom. Over 100 references in the New Testament, in just the gospels itself, Jesus talks about the kingdom of God. He says, seek first, not the cross. Help me out here. Not salvation, the kingdom of God and its righteousness. So, Jesus came to earth to reestablish God's number one priority for mankind. If you believe that God created mankind, that he has purpose for mankind. And Jesus came to restore that purpose. And we talked about it last 2 weeks already about the kingdom of God. Are you getting this? Jesus is not here to restore a religion. Jesus did not come here to give you rituals to follow. He came here to restore you to your original God-intended place in this world. And that's to rule, to have dominion, to have everything under your feet. So nothing would rule over you. Interesting thing today. A lot of things, instead of us ruling over them, sometimes a little leaf with this pointy things are ruling over so many lives. You know what I'm talking about. Marijuana, right? A leaf. Oh. You got it now. See, we're supposed to rule over things. A lot of times, a grape that's been processed is ruling, or an apple that's been processed, or a potato that's been really processed. Vodka, you know. I just found out it's made out of potato. Wow. It's dominating over people's lives. How many people's lives today are being dominated by some little leaf from Colombia? You know what that is? How many people's lives are being dominated? See, Jesus came to restore your dominion over things, not so something would rule over you. Bible says, do not let sin rule over you. Amen? So Jesus Christ did not come to reestablish some religion so he could put you in bondage, so you can come on Sunday and cry, oh God. No, that's not the whole point. He came to restore a kingdom. Listen to this. And saying, the second scripture, Mark, let's say Mark 4, 11, says this. And he said to them, Jesus, unto you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without or outside, who don't want to understand, all these things are in parables. So all that Jesus, every parable that he preached was about the kingdom of God. I don't know how we miss it. I don't know how we missed it for so many years, thinking that it's a religion I'm following. It's the kingdom. God is a king. He has a territory. He's a ruler. Amen. And Jesus came to reestablish that kingdom. And then he says at the end of his life he says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world, to all the nations, and then the end will come. End of the world is not coming. Not yet. I don't care what prophet prophesies it. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all the world, unto all the nation. Not so much the cross, the kingdom. They gotta know that he is the king. Not a religious, not a guru, not some kind of yoga or whatever. He is the king. And the thing is, he doesn't call you his subject. He calls you his sons and daughters. Remember a story of a prodigal son? He goes and lives a life. That's all of us. We walked away from God. Come on. We walked away and then by the power of the Holy Spirit, we were convicted and we came to our senses and we came to our father and says, accept us. What did prodigal son said to his father? Make me as one of your slaves. He said, no. Oh no, you're not going to be my slave. That's God saying to us. When we come to him, you're not going to be my slave. Oh no, don't you put yourself down there. You're not my slave. I got plenty of servants. They're angels. He puts a robe on him, his robe of righteousness. Remember that robe that was taken off Jesus and was cut in pieces? That robe, he puts it on you, spiritually speaking. And he puts a ring on his finger, ring of authority. And he says, you're my son. And he says, let's celebrate. For my son was lost and now is found. Parable of a sheep, the same thing. When he finds that one sheep, he leaves 99, finds that one. He puts it on his shoulders and then calls his friends and says, let's celebrate. My son, who is lost, has been found. Your God is a king. You are his son. You are his daughter. Start acting like it. Start believing it. Don't let anything. And Jesus came to restore your rulership over things. Money shouldn't rule over you or me. Drugs shouldn't rule over you. Alcohol shouldn't rule over you. Anger shouldn't rule over you. You should rule over it. You have more power than you think. He has given you the power to rule. If you were un-Christian, you had an excuse. You could say, well, I don't have the power to change. Now that you are a believer, you have the power, the greatest power in the universe, the power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you and me. Over 100 scriptures, just in a gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, on kingdom of God. When he taught us to pray, he said, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, praised be to your name, thy kingdom, your kingdom, come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Notice, interesting feature here. He didn't say to call him my king who is in heaven. What did he say? How did Jesus taught us to pray? Our Father. Notice he doesn't want you to call him king. He wants you to call him Father. Sons and daughters of a king on earth, don't call him King Louis the Fifth or whatever. Oh, mighty one. No, they call him Father. Dad. That's my dad. God wants you to call him Father so you would know that you are his son or you his daughter. Second thing, notice he didn't say my father. Who did he say? Our father. So, Jesse, come on up here quickly. If Jesse is Jesus and I'm just, a Christian, then we say our father. So the way Jesse comes to his father and the way I come to God is the same place, same way. It's our father. Thank you. Notice it's our father. So you, Jesus puts you on his level. Whoa, that's not true. Can it be? Are you preaching heresy here? No, because I'm going to prove it. Open Romans chapter, 8:29. Listen to this. For whom God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed, to look like the image of his son, Jesus, that Jesus might be the firstborn among many brethren. So who is Jesus to you? Your brother. He's your eldest brother, and he's God. That he might be the firstborn. Jesus may be firstborn among many brothers. God is our Father, and he taught us to pray, our Father. So the way Jesus came to God, I come to God. What is prayer? It's doing business with the king. It's petitioning the king. It's talking to the king and saying, hey, I need to talk to you, Dad. Listen, I got some issues. A lot of us come to him and we totally misunderstand. We think it's some higher gas in the universe that created all things, or some kind of a little... No, he's a God. He has a kingdom. He has territory. That territory is called heaven. It's a spiritual place. It has no end. It's humongous. We're going to continue. Every government, God has a government. Remember Jesus, when he came, he says, the government shall be upon his shoulders. Last week, Jesus brought the government of God to the earth. So when Bible says seek first the kingdom, you got to know what you're seeking. Because a lot of people misunderstand. They think, well, I'm going to seek some angel to come. No, that's not it. I'm going to seek some higher power. No. You got to understand what God is and who he is and who your father is. He's a king. And if you start looking at his kingdom a different way, everything will change in your life. Everything will change in your life. Point number one. What every government has in common. Today my topic is constitution. My topic today, kingdom constitution. All right. So be very patient with this, because I want you to understand something about constitution of our government. Every government has a constitution. Without constitution, government is illegitimate. You can't have a government without constitution. Okay? Let me prove it to you. After the United States and its allies invaded Iraq, the first objective after toppling Saddam Hussein was to create a new nation, right? And the first assignment to creating that nation before they could do anything was what? They had to build or create a constitution. It took months to do it because you had to have everybody agree upon the same document, right? All the Shiites and Sunnis and other different factions of the religious factions, they all had to agree on. You cannot have a government without constitution. Now I'm going somewhere, because in order to understand God, you have to understand this. The heart of all nations, all kingdoms, the heart of all governments is the constitution. In democracy, constitution is a covenant that people make with themselves. Correct? Okay. What is our constitution? Freedom of speech is in our constitution, right? How do you guarantee, what guarantees your freedom of speech? Why is constitution important? Why are we even talking about it? Because it gives us guarantees. It gives us certain things. Right to bear arms. Right to own your own business if you wanted to. Commerce. There's other, you probably know more than I do. But you need a constitution. What is constitution? It's a written covenant of a will, intent, desires, and principles by which the country will be governed. If you don't have constitution, you can't have any laws. So you need a constitution. So every government, including the kingdom of God, has to have, help me out, a constitution. Constitution provides a certain guarantees, like you have freedom of speech. Well, but what if a guy comes alone and says you cannot have freedom of speech? Then what do you need? Cops represent what? Law. See, you look at God and you think he's putting all these laws and religion on me. No. A government has constitution, and constitution has law. And without law, you have no protection. I can come to your house and take whatever I want without fearing anything. So the reason God puts in, gives us a constitution, any kingdom has to have a constitution, is so he can have laws. I know some of us, we've been taught in religious churches and we didn't understand the kingdom. All we understood is religion. And we thought laws are bad. I hate laws. Do you really hate laws? You don't. Because if you ran on a green light and somebody ran on a red light and killed your kid, you would be really pissed. You'd be really angry. So don't say you hate laws. You love laws. And you hate injustice. Especially when it's done to us. We hate injustice. See, and God laws are the same thing. A lot of people yell and cry and say, why is there so much pain in the world? Because for years, for generations, for hundreds and thousands of years, we've been breaking the laws of God. Imagine if everybody who was born was taught that you have to jump off the ninth. It's okay to jump off from a nine-story building, okay? And everybody jumped off, and they were crying and yelling, and everybody had broken legs and arms, and they were crying and saying, God, why is this happening to us? Hold on. You just broke a law of gravity. It works every single time. You break the law, you pay the price. See, you can jump from a building and the police officer will not do anything for you. But guess what? The law will punish you regardless. Not unless you use another law to go over this law. Like law of aerodynamics, right? So in democracy, constitution is a covenant that people make with themselves. In the kingdom, constitution is the king's covenant with his citizens and his kingdom. This book is not a religious book. You got to stop looking at it. It's a book of constitution. This is a covenant between God and his people. You shouldn't hate this book. It explains a lot of what will happen if you do this. And a lot of us, we want to overwrite those real laws. We want to remove those laws. And yet, they are still effective for us today. Some of you live life and you already know that if you break God's law, believe in him or not, you're going to pay the price. You're going to pay the price for it. In democracy, people express their desire of how they want to be governed. In our country, we make the decision. We vote people in and then we petition them. We have lobbyists go in and go and tell them what to do. That's how it works in our government. But in a kingdom, whatever king says, it's the law. And the thing is that king cannot change his mind. You remember in Daniel's time? When king signed a document that if for 30 days somebody doesn't worship was it Nebuchadnezzar? I think it was Nebuchadnezzar. He should be thrown in the den of lions, in a pit where lions are. And when the king found out that it was Daniel that they were trying to set up, it was a setup to get Daniel killed because they were jealous. Daniel was just such a good official in the kingdom. And when the king found out it's Daniel, he's like, I don't want to do this. And they came to him and says, remember, by the laws of Medes and Persians, the law of a king cannot be changed. You cannot change constitution. See, in a government ruled by democracy, you can change constitution because we can amend the constitution. But when king says something, it's the law. And imagine, and remember this, the king that we serve is a perfect king. He's a God. He's a holy, perfect God. So whatever he says is right. We can trust him on that. He doesn't need to change. Remember it says, I, the Lord, I don't change. The Lord God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Religion changes how they interpret the Bible, but guess what? King never changes what he says. If you're religious, then when it comes to, let's say, homosexuality, it's an uncomfortable topic, or abortion. You know, well, you know, religious people can come up with a loophole. But if you look at the Constitution, you cannot change. See, in democracy, we can change our Constitution. We can make amendments to it. Because we created this Constitution. How does our Constitution start? We, the people. How does God's Constitution start in the Bible? In the beginning, God. That's it. Or, in another way, I, the Lord God, says. That's how God works. See, we have a foreign concept of kingdoms because kingdoms are so far along in the history of our history. But God is a king, and he's a perfect king, and he has a constitution, and whatever is written here, you can trust. It's not a book to enslave you. It's a book to free you. Because a king is known by how well his citizens live. So guess what? Let's put that scripture on Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Listen, God doesn't want to do you evil. I don't know who told you that God wants to do you evil. To give you a future and a hope. Let's keep reading. Verse 12. If we have that. If not, that's okay. I just want to continue with this. So, number two, and out of 3 points. Constitution is a contract. In a kingdom, constitution is a contract that a king has with his citizens. This book is a contract that a king has with us, with humanity. In democracy, citizens create their own contracts for themselves. In a democracy, people plan and decide what they want to happen to them. In the kingdom, people have no say. Instead, the king tells you what he wants to happen to you. That's why we rebel, because we want to have so much say. Because we think we can do better. But guess what? How can you overdo perfect? How can you get better than perfect? How can you do better than perfect? God is a perfect God. You can't do better than him. And so if you follow what he says in this constitution, in this book of laws that are designed to protect you and your neighbor, guess what? You're going to have a good life. You're going to have a good marriage. Your life is going to make sense. You're going to live with a purpose. If you don't, then something else will take dominion over you. Before I'm finished, Constitution is designed to inform and protect its citizens of its specific rights. A lot of you don't even know who you are in God. Because you don't never spend time, never look into this book to see what does God say about you. I want to give you a few scriptures, 10 scriptures, what God desires for its people. Let's put scripture number one. Guys, and keep up with me. Scripture number one, Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. Listen to first promise that God in his constitution says about you. I will bless those who, read it with me, bless you. And I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's a promise to Abraham, but it also applies to us. Imagine this. God says, who blesses you will be blessed. You don't curse people who curse you. Jesus said, you bless people who curse you. Let God deal with them. And he says this, I'll take care of them. Trust me, guys. You don't want to give up anybody into the hands of God. It's horrible. Okay? God will take care of his own. Second scripture, second promise of God. Jeremiah 29, we read this. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's a promise. You can keep, you can go with it to the bank. Next scripture. Matthew 11. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That's a promise. If you are stressed out, you can have this as a promise. That's in your constitution. You can say, devil, I have a right. Just like you say, I can, it's a free country, I can say what I want to say. Do you say that? I know in school we used to say that a lot. I can do whatever I want. It's a free country. You should say that the same thing to the devil. Devil, I can have what God says in the Constitution about me. Listen to this. This is very important. Because Constitution is designed to protect you. And this book is here to protect you. Next scripture. Isaiah. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. And the young man shall utterly fall. But those who wait upon or trust, the word, on the Lord shall renew in strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's a promise to you. If you're weak, weary, that's a promise in Constitution. There's been days in my life I've been so tired and I would pray, Lord, give me the strength of the Samson. I just can't do it anymore. And he would. Not that I would become like Samson or anything, but I would be me. You know, Samson was Samson. But I was like, Lord, I need this strength. I can't do this anymore. I'm overwhelmed. Have you ever been so stressed out you wanted to puke? Have you ever been so overwhelmed that you wanted to like go to the bathroom and just go? Yeah. He gives strength to the weary. He gives might to those who have no strength. Next scripture, guys. Philippians 4:9, and my God, read it, shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's a promise. All of your needs, that's in Constitution. That's your right. Just like freedom of speech, freedom to bear arm is your right. Same in God's kingdom, who you are a part of, if you're a believer, that's your right. And you can go before the court of the universe and say, claim that scripture and says, God, I have a need. I need your help. Now, if your need is because you spend too much money, he'll say, okay, get your money under control. I'll give you what you need for now, but get your money under control. He'll talk to you. He'll tell you what the problem is, and he'll help you fix it. All right, next scripture, guys. Romans 8. For I'm persuaded, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principality, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's another promise. Listen, you cannot fall away from the love of God. He will love you forever. It doesn't matter how deep you fall, how hard you sin, how much you sin. There is a promise in his constitution that says nothing will separate you from the love of God. As soon as you're ready to repent, he says, come on, I love you. Some people say, well, God doesn't love me anymore. You don't know what I've done. That's a lie. Look in Constitution. He says, nothing will separate you from, doesn't matter how deep you fall. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what you've been through. Nothing will separate you from my love. What a promise. Keep going. I'm giving you guys 10 promises. Psalm 23:1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If he's your king, if he's your shepherd, you shall not want. He'll take care of you. Next scripture. Psalm 23:6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy. Why do we need mercy? Because we messed up. all the time. And David says, I mess up every day, so goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. God knows you're going to mess up, but he promised to give you goodness still and mercy if you're in his kingdom. See, I hope you guys getting this. Anybody not getting this? Some of you are, I know. All right, next scripture. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives it to you, I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He says, I give you peace. If you need peace today, Constitution promises you peace. Relax. It's yours. Receive that. Is that the last scripture? One more. All right. Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth and believe that Jesus, the Lord Jesus, raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What a promise in the Constitution. Have you ever had doubts? Am I saved? Am I not saved? Am I going? Am I good with God? Listen, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved. As a Christian, you should not worry about being saved. You are saved if you confess them with your mouth, if you continually to confess them with your mouth. Stop worrying about that. Bible says, stop worrying about your food, what you will wear, what you will drink, what you will eat. Those heathens, they worry about that. Those people who are outside of the kingdom, they have to worry about that. He said, but you first seek the kingdom of God and to be in a right standing with it. And everything else will be added unto you. Have you been blessed by this message? So what is the Bible? Can I hear a new? What is the Bible to you after today? The Constitution of a King. Who is your father? He's still a king. Because he says, thy kingdom come. He's still a king. But he's your daddy. Who's your daddy? God.